Welcome all of you to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.13.8 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes Mataji, I am here.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association. Please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Is the voice clear?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, are you on YouTube also, Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji. I just hit the live button, so it's showing
thank you,
live.
Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So let us pray for Her Grace Pramodaki Mataji's brother, Vijay Chaitanya Prabhu, who has left his body, very glorious life, chanting Hare Krishna, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagwan Sri Krishna, in the association of devotees, distributing prasadam, distributing books. So all glories to him. So let us chant three times Hare Krishna Mahamantra and offer this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra for Vijay Chaitanya Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare
Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna,
Hare
Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna,
Hare
Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Rama, Rama,
Rama,
Rama.
Hare Hare.
May Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga shower all their mercy, all their blessings, all their love upon Vijay Chaitanya Prabhu. Kaumudaki Mataji, did I get Prabhuji's name right or no?
It's Vijay Chaitanya. Gauridas
Vijay Chaitanya?
Vijay, heart.
Hridaya Chaitanya. Chaitanya Das. Yes. Yes. So let us offer our prayers for Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu, who has left this mortal world. And we pray to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga that they bless, shower their mercy, and embrace Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu.
And his
may they recognize him for all his services that he has performed, and may Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu eternally become a source of great pleasure to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
So today we are going to discuss two verses from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13, entitled The Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. We will be discussing verse number 8 and 9. So before we do that, let us chant our Mangalacharan. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare One more time for His Grace Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Atmanam Brahma Nirvanam Pratyastameta Vigraham Avabodharasaikatmyam Anandam Anusantatam Avyavachinna Yogagni Dagda Karma Malashayaha Swarupam Avarundhano Natmano Yamtatakshata Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Translation By expansion of His knowledge of the Supreme Brahman He had already attained liberation from the bondage of the body This liberation is known as Nirvana He was situated in transcendental bliss And he continued always in that blissful existence which expanded more and more. This was possible for him by continual practice of bhakti yoga, which is compared to fire because it burns away all dirty material things. He was always situated in his constitutional position of self-realization, and he could not see anything else but the Supreme Lord and himself engaged in discharging devotional service. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing in Srimad Bhagavatam that Dhruva Maharaj in the previous chapter has perfected his life and gone back home, back to Godhead. And Narad Muni is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj. And now, on being asked about the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, the greatness of Dhruva Maharaj's son Utkal is being described. So in this verse, the perfect life of Utkal is being described, who is the son of Dhruva Maharaj. So he was always in complete knowledge of Krishna. He was always performing devotional service. As a result, Anandam Anusantatam. His bliss was always expanding. And Yogagni Dagdha Karma. By the power of Bhakti Yoga, Yoga Agni Dagdha Karma, all the reactions to material activities were burnt off for Utkal. And he was Swarupam, in his constitutional position, he was discharging devotional service in the position of self-realization. Now let us read the purport. These two verses explain the verse in the Bhagavad Gita 18.54. Brahma Bhutaha Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati Samaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he achieves pure devotional service unto me. This is also explained by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka in the beginning of the first verse. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam Anandam Budhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritaswadanam Taravatmasnapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Shri Krishna Sankirtan Ki Jaya. The Bhakti Yoga system is the topmost yoga system. And in this system, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the foremost performance of devotional service. By chanting the holy name, one can attain the perfection of nirvana or liberation from material existence. And so increase one's blissful life of spiritual existence as described by Lord Chaitanya. Anandam Budhi Vardhanam. When one is situated in that position, he no longer has any interest in material opulence or even a royal throne and sovereignty over the whole planet. My dear friends, Ram Navami is coming up. Today is Sunday. And this coming Saturday, after 5 days, Shri Ram Navami is coming up. So let us meditate upon, let us think about, let us contemplate, let us reflect on this very, very dear form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this very, very dear form of Shri Krishna, called Shri Ramchandra. Lord Ram is non-different from our beloved Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It is Gauranga Mahaprabhu who had come as Shri Ram in Treta Yuga. So let us connect this verse and this purport to Lord Shri Ram. Here Srila Prabhupada is saying that when we are situated in Krishna consciousness, he is saying, when one is situated in that position, he no longer has any interest in material opulence or even a royal throne and sovereignty over the whole planet. This very aptly applies to Lord Ram, who was not attached to the royal throne. This situation is called Viraktir Anyatra Syat. It is the result of devotional service. This virakti, this detachment, is a result of devotional service, Srila Prabhupada is saying. And now listen carefully, my dear friends. The more one makes advancement in devotional service, the more one becomes detached from material opulence and material activity. This is the spiritual nature, full of bliss. This is also described in Bhagavad Gita 2.59. Param drishtva nivartate. One ceases to take part in material enjoyment upon tasting superior blissful life of spiritual existence. By advancement in spiritual knowledge, which is considered to be like blazing fire, all material desires are burned to ashes. The perfection of mystic yoga is possible when one is continuously in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by discharging devotional service. My dear friends, this sentence has to be remembered very carefully. I'll read it again. The perfection of mystic yoga is possible when one is continuously in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by discharging devotional service. A devotee is always thinking of the Supreme Person at every step of his life. This is very important. Every conditioned soul is full of the reactions of his past life. But all dirty things, specifically in this word, dagda karma malashayah, karma mala, the dirt of karmic reactions, the dirt of the reactions to one's materialistic sinful activities. Dagda, they are burned. By what? By which fire, which agni? Yoga agni. Bhakti yoga agni. And here in Chetudarpana Marjanam verse, bhava maha davagni. This great forest fire of material existence. Nirvapanam. It is extinguished. A devotee is always thinking of the Supreme Person at every step of his life. Every conditioned soul is full of the reactions of his past life, but all dirty things are immediately burned to ashes if one simply executes devotional service. So both the examples are given. The dirty things are burnt off. Dirty material things are burnt off in the Bhagavatam verse, and in Chetudarpana Marjanam, Mahaprabhu says that the fire. So the example of fire is given in both ways. As the positive fire of bhakti in the Bhagavatam verse, that yogagni, the fire of bhakti yoga, will dagdha, will burn karma mala, will burn all the dirt of material reactions. Now, on the other hand, in Shikshashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses fire in another, has a different connotation in Shikshashtakam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses fire, Agni, as the forest fire of material existence in a negative connotation. Bhava Maha Davagni. So this Agni is Bhava Agni. It is the forest fire of material existence. And this is Nirvapanam, this is extinguished. So there the fire of bhakti is described, and here the fire of material existence being put out, being extinguished by Shri Krishna Sankirtanam is described. So fire is used in both the connotations, positive bhakti yoga and negative bhava agni also. So same fire is used in both the ways. This is very symbolic because our nature is also like that. Being the Tatashta Shakti of Krishna, marginal potency of Krishna, we can either be under the influence of Krishna's material energy, Bahiranga Shakti, or we can be under the shelter of Dairi Prakriti, Antaranga Shakti. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti ashrita. So we can either take shelter of devotional energy or the external energy. This is described in the Narad Pancharatra. Sarvapadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchade. Hare Krishna. So we will connect what we just discussed in these holy transcendental pages of Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam to our beloved Ayodhyapati Shri Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang, Krishna 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 He Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshamam Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Pahimam. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving the association of his beloved associates in Neelachal Dham, in Jagannath Puri Dham, he was leaving Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He was leaving all the beloved associates of his, Nityananda Prabhu, all the associates, his thousands and thousands of loving devotees, he was leaving behind in Jagannath Puri and he was going on South India Yatra on the pretext of finding his brother Vishwarup. And as he was leaving the association of devotees, followed only by a servant, Krishnadas, Kala Krishnadas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving the association of devotees and he was praying, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshamam. In this way we can also pray to Raghupati, Shri Ram, to protect our Krishna consciousness. When we chant the Rama Raksha Stotra, composed by Buddha Kaushika Rishi, as dictated to him by the Supreme Vaishnava, Shivji, we can pray that please protect our Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when we pray to our beloved Narasimha Bhagwan, we can pray in the same way to please protect our Krishna consciousness. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Ram, for protection, Rakshamam. So let us connect this verse and this purport to Lord Ramchandra. Several important points were raised by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. The first point was, Srila Prabhupada brings up this verse of Shikshashtakam, which specifically talks about purification. Cheto darpana marjanam. Marjanam means to clean, cleanse. Darpana, which mirror? The mirror of our consciousness, cheta. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, mat chitta satatam bhava. Srila Prabhupada gave name to our society, our spiritual society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This comes from this particular statement of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Mat chitta satatam bhava. Krishna says, always be Krishna conscious, always be conscious of me. Mat chitta satatam bhava. Always become Krishna conscious, always become conscious of me, always remain conscious of me. And then he says, mat chitta sarva durgani mat prasadat parishyasi. You will cross over this ocean of material existence by my mercy if you are always Krishna conscious. Mat chitta, if you are always thinking of me. Mat chitta sarva durgani mat prasadat parishyasi. By my mercy, you will cross over all obstacles. Sarva durgani. So remaining Krishna conscious is very important. Later in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, we should always be Krishna conscious. We should always remain Krishna conscious. Otherwise, we are in great danger. So these points of self-purification, these points of always remaining in devotee association, always remaining in the association of Krishna, remaining Krishna conscious means to remain in the association of devotees. Because Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, the devotees are always found at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because they are Krishna Prashthaya. They are very dear to Krishna. They are very dear to Krishna. So taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, taking shelter of Krishna consciousness means to always remain in the association of the devotees of Krishna. Because we get our Krishna consciousness from the devotees. So always remaining in satsang, always remaining in good association and avoiding asatsang is very important for Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Very, very important. So this is illustrated very beautifully in Ramayana. So let us talk about that. Let us go to the beautiful city of Ayodhya, which is the earthly manifestation of the eternal spiritual abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ramchandra. In the spiritual world, there is Ayodhya Dham, and that same Ayodhya Dham manifested on this Bhumandal for our benefit as the city of Ayodhya in North India. So let us go to Ayodhya. And there, in Treta Yuga, the great King Dashrath Maharaj was very justly, very lovingly ruling over Ayodhya, which was considered to be the world capital at that time. And Dashrath Maharaj had three main queens. The eldest was Kaushalya, then there was Kaikeyi and Sumitra. So Kaushalya gave birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Ram, and Krishna's own expansions, Vishnu Tattva, Krishna's own expansions, they also came as Kaikeyi's son Bharat and Sumitra's twin sons Lakshman and Shatrughna. Lakshman always served Sri Ram and Shatrughna always served Bharat. And Bharat also served Sri Ram. So Lord Ram was the eldest and he was the leader among the four brothers. And Lord Ram was decorated with all good qualities. Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam. He teaches us the ideal human behavior. And he was so loving to the subjects. He was so respectful to all his mothers. He was not partial. He was so obedient to his father. He was so submissive to Vasishtha Muni and other sages in the kingdom that he became the object of everyone's love and admiration. And one day, Dashrath Maharaj took the help of a darpan, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Dashrath Maharaj was sitting in his court on his simhasan, on his throne. He took the help of a darpan, of a mirror, to adjust his mukut, to adjust his crown. And as he was looking in the mirror to adjust his crown, he realized that some hair near his temples, near his ears, had turned gray, white. So immediately Dashrath Maharaj realized that these gray hair which are near my ears are whispering something in my ears. You see, when we start developing gray hair, they usually start near the ears, near the temples. And Dashrath Maharaj says that this is very significant. These grayish white hair are situated near the ears because they are whispering something into our ears. And what are they whispering? You are getting old. Death is approaching. Jiva jago, jiva jago. come on, do Hari Bhajan. Time is running out for you. So Dasharath Maharaj, as soon as he noticed his graying hair in the mirror, he developed Virakti. He developed a sense of not only renunciation, but a sense of urgency. And he thought, I have been ruling to the best of my ability, this kingdom of Ayodhya. I have been trying to uphold Dharma, and I have been trying my best to suppress Adharma. But now, this body has become old, and I have to give up this body soon. So it is my responsibility to find a successor. So as he contemplated in his heart, he came to the conclusion, there can be no better successor than my darling son Ram. He has all the great qualities. He will be the perfect king. That was his opinion. But he wanted to confirm his opinion by asking his spiritual master, a very great sadhu, Vasishtha Muni. So he goes to Vasishtha Muni and submits his desire, that I have a desire to give up this kingdom, to give up this kingship, and I want to pass the power, transfer the power to my son, Shri Ram. And I want to do it as soon as possible because death may come at any moment. And Vasishtha Muni was so excited to hear this desire of the king that he said, oh my dear King Dasharath, I have also been thinking about this. This is the best decision you can make for the welfare of this world. By enthroning your able eldest son, Shri Ram, let us do this. So Dasharath Maharaj asks Vasishtha Muni, what would be a good time, auspicious time to conduct this ceremony? And Vasishtha Muni thought about it for a moment and said, this is such an auspicious ceremony. This is such an auspicious act to name Shri Ram as the next king and Srimati Sita Devi as the next queen. What can be more auspicious than this? Whichever day you do this, that tithi will become auspicious. So don't wait for any auspicious tithi. Do it immediately. Let's do it tomorrow morning, first thing. And Dasharath Maharaj was very excited, very happy. And then he consulted other ministers, other advisors, other sadhus in his kingdom. And they all unanimously said that nobody is more qualified than Lord Ram, than Shri Ram. Let us make him the next king. Let us do it tomorrow itself. Shigra, shigra. Let's not delay. So Dasharath Maharaj said, okay, let's start the preparations immediately. We have only one night to prepare. Now in all this excitement, it did not occur to Dasharath Maharaj that his two younger sons, Bharat and Shatrughna, had gone to their maternal uncle's kingdom for some time. And they would not be there the next day. In all his excitement, he forgot. Sometimes we also, in our excitement, sometimes we forget. We forget certain things. I will share something very sweet, my dear friends. Tomorrow is Ekadashi, and it is the divine appearance day of His Holiness Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. And on YouTube, I was listening to Srila Jayapataka Maharaj's offering to Shripad Ayendra Prabhu. He made this offering in 2010 on the same day that the world heard the heartbreaking news of Shripad Ayendra Prabhu's disappearance in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Jayapataka Maharaj made this heartfelt offering to Shripad Ayendra Prabhu. He said that once I had invited, Jayapataka Maharaj is saying, I had invited Ayendra Prabhu to Navadvip Dham for Kirtan Mela, to perform Sankirtan, because Ayendra Prabhu was the foremost Sankirtan leaders of ISKCON. He established the 24-hour Sankirtan in Krishna Balaram Mandir, Vrindavan. So Jayapataka Maharaj invited Ayendra Prabhu. And Ayendra Prabhu came. And the day Ayendra Prabhu arrived after the morning program, after Japa, after Mangal Arati, after the morning program, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj was making announcements about the Kirtan festival that was about to begin. And in his excitement, somehow Srila Jayapataka Maharaj had personally welcomed Ayendra Prabhu, but publicly it just, Jayapataka Maharaj just forgot to mention that we have this glorious guest coming from Vrindavan Dham, Shripad Ayendra Prabhu, let us welcome him. So Srila Jayapataka Maharaj had personally welcomed Ayendra Prabhu, he had met, but in his excitement to make all the announcements for the Kirtan festival which was about to start, for the Kirtan Mela which was about to start, in all his excitement, you know, in all the list of announcements that he had to quickly make, he did not mention Ayendra Prabhu. And as soon as the announcements were over, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj realized that, oh, I forgot to mention Ayendra Prabhu, I forgot to welcome Ayendra Prabhu. And immediately he felt very regretful. And Srila Jayapataka Maharaj went to Ayendra Prabhu. He took the chadar of Sri Sri Radha Madhav as a gift, as a token of his love to Ayendra Prabhu. And he offered that chadar to Ayendra Prabhu and fell at his feet, begging forgiveness. I'm sorry, Ayendra Prabhu, I forgot. I forgot to mention you in the morning announcements. I forgot to welcome you. I should have welcomed you. And Ayendra Prabhu did not take any offense. He did not mind it at all. He told Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, Maharaj, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You had already welcomed me. Let us carry on with the Kirtan festival. I did not mind it. So these beautiful exchanges took place between Srila Jayapataka Maharaj and Ayendra Prabhu. And then Srila Jayapataka Maharaj also mentioned that later on, so this offering was made in 2010 by Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, remembering an incident that took place several years ago. And then Jayapataka Maharaj is saying, after this incident later on, in 2008, I got the stroke. And the doctors were not sure whether I will survive or not. And Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, in that offering, he mentions, at that time, Shripad Ayendra Prabhu was earnestly praying for my recovery. In fact, he was holding kirtans for my recovery. So these are the loving exchanges between two glorious devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shripad Ayendra Prabhu and His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. The reason I mentioned these loving exchanges between them is because it brings up an important point that in his, you know, he had a list of so many announcements to make before the Kirtan festival, somehow Jayapataka Maharaj inadvertently did not mention Ayendra Prabhu. Not a, such a big thing. But when Jayapataka Maharaj realized it, he was very regretful. He felt very bad that I did not adequately welcome my dear godbrother Ayendra Prabhu. And he begged forgiveness from Ayendra Prabhu. Begged forgiveness. And gave him Radha Madhav's chadar as a token of love and appreciation and gratitude. And Ayendra Prabhu gladly accepted it and told Jayapataka Maharaj, don't worry, I did not take offense, I did not mind it, no issues. Let's carry on with the Kirtan festival, and they embraced. So sometimes these things happen. We forget certain things in our excitement to serve Krishna. Similarly, Dasharatha Maharaj in his excitement, he forgot that Bharat and Shatrughna were not in the kingdom and there was no possibility of them being present the next morning. It just didn't occur to him. It was just a slip of the mind, you can say, in the excitement to serve Sri Ram. But now see what happens. So Dasharatha Maharaj is busy making all arrangements for the coronation ceremony that is supposed to happen the next morning. And in the palace, when Manthara, who is the maid servant of the younger wife of Dasharatha Maharaj Kaikeyi, when she hears this news, she becomes very insecure. So there are three personalities here, my dear friends. There is Dasharatha Maharaj, who is a pure devotee. There is Manthara, who is filled with envy and selfishness, an ulterior motive. And in the middle, there is Kaikeyi. So Dasharatha Maharaj represents the antaranga shakti of Krishna, the internal potency, the devotional energy. Manthara here represents materialistic life, conditioned life, under the external potency, bahiranga shakti of Krishna. And Kaikeyi is a devotee by nature. She loves Lord Ram by nature. But being the tatastha shakti, being on the margin, on the shore, she is neither on land nor in the ocean. She is on the tata, she is on the margin. She is the marginal energy. So she can, based on the association that she chooses, sat sangha or asat sangha, she can either be under the antaranga shakti and be a devotee of Ram, or she can fall under the sway of Manthara and become polluted. So Kaikeyi represents all of us because we are marginal energy of Krishna. So Manthara became very envious. She was already envious, but her envy increased when she heard that Sri Ram is going to become the next king and not the son of her mistress. Her mistress was Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi's son was Bharat. So she wanted Bharat to become the next king. Because Manthara's thought process was, right now, the king is Dasharatha Maharaj. He has many queens. And of all the queens, the favorite queen is not the eldest wife, Kausalya, but Dasharatha Maharaj's favorite queen is his most beautiful queen, and that is Kaikeyi. So my mistress, my boss, Kaikeyi, is the favorite queen of the king, Dasharatha Maharaj. Because my boss, my mistress, Kaikeyi, is the favorite queen of Dasharatha Maharaj, therefore I have got special privileges. Because I am the personal servant, I am the maid servant of Kaikeyi, who is the principal queen of Dasharatha Maharaj, favorite queen of Dasharatha Maharaj. Now if Kausalya's son Ram becomes the next king, then Ram and Sita will become the king and queen, and then their family, their children will have all prominence. Sita will become the main queen, and she will have all prominence. And Ram's mother Kausalya will be the Rajmata. She will be the prominent mother. And Kaikeyi will not have the prominence that she enjoys right now. And therefore Kaikeyi will lose her importance in the palace. And as a result of that, I will also lose my respect. Now Manthara was old and she was hunchbacked. She had a hunch. Her back was not straight, it was bent. Hunchbacked lady, Manthara was. And sometimes people, just jokingly, they made fun of her. Without malice, they would just make fun of her because she was hunchback. Now this is also very instructive. This is wrong. One should not make fun of others. One should not make fun, especially of things that others don't have control over, like their looks, their physical appearance. We should not make fun. It's very bad. So our acharyas explain that people in the palace, the other maid servants, they would make fun of Manthara because she was hunchbacked. And they did it without malice. They did it jokingly, just to have some fun. But Manthara resented that. She absolutely disliked those type of jokes. And once Kaikeyi became the favorite queen of Dasharatha Maharaj, and Manthara was Kaikeyi's main maid servant, everybody stopped making fun of Manthara because they knew that she is very close to Kaikeyi, who is the favorite queen of Maharaj Dasharatha. So now Manthara was thinking, if Kaikeyi loses her position as the favorite queen, then I will lose my position as the favorite maid servant, as the most powerful maid servant, most influential maid servant in the palace, and people will again start making fun of me. So she became insecure. And for her own selfish interest, for her own vested interest, she decided to create a conspiracy theory and to foil the plan of Dasharatha Maharaj to coronate Shri Ram. So we know the story. She came and she polluted Kaikeyi. I wanted to discuss the conversation between Kaikeyi and Manthara in detail, but we don't have time. This conversation is very important because it shows us how our mind can become influenced by Maya. Manthara represents Maya and Kaikeyi represents our mind, represents us. How our mind becomes polluted by Maya, by the Bahiranga Shakti of Krishna, by the modes of material nature, how we become trapped. I will tell in brief. So Manthara comes and she tells, in a very angry mood she comes, and she tells Kaikeyi, have you heard the news yet? And Kaikeyi, who loves Lord Ram, she looks at Manthara and says, no, what is the news? And Manthara tells Kaikeyi that your husband, King Dasharatha, is going to coronate Shri Ram as the next king tomorrow. As soon as Kaikeyi hears this news, she becomes blissful. She says, wow, what a great news you have given me. My beloved Ram is going to become the next king. This is great news. And she immediately takes out a necklace from her own self. This necklace is made of pure gold and it is studded with very precious diamonds. It's a diamond necklace. Kaikeyi takes out her own diamond necklace and she puts it around the neck of Manthara and says, this is a gift for you for bringing me this good news. All auspiciousness to you. Manthara removes that diamond necklace studded in gold and throws it on the ground in anger and says, you keep this necklace, oh foolish woman. Don't you understand what is about to happen? Now Manthara could chastise Kaikeyi like this because Manthara was the dhatri of Kaikeyi. It's a long story. We don't have time to get into it. How Kaikeyi's mother was asked to leave from the kingdom, Kaikeya, by Kaikeyi's father. And then he hired these maid servants to bring up Kaikeyi. So Kaikeyi was brought up practically by this hunchback woman, Manthara. So Manthara was the dhatri, was the nurse of Kaikeyi. So Manthara took care of Kaikeyi since Kaikeyi was a little girl. So she had the right to chastise. So she was chastising very harshly Kaikeyi and saying, don't you understand what is about to happen? Why are you so foolish? So Kaikeyi said, what happened? Lord Ram is the most qualified person to become the king. He's filled with good qualities. He's the oldest. So he must become the next king. What is the problem? She says, you don't understand, oh foolish Kaikeyi, what the problem is. Don't you see, you are the favorite queen of Dasharatha Maharaj. And Kaushalya, being the eldest, is not a favorite. Therefore, this is a conspiracy between Kaushalya and Dasharatha against you. Kaushalya wants to put her son as the next king so that you will be sidetracked. You will lose all your importance and value. So Manthara played this game of creating conflict between co-wives. Because the relationship of co-wives is by nature fraught with misunderstanding and envy. Naturally. But somehow, all the co-wives of Dasharatha Maharaj, they lived amicably. They lived in a very friendly way. There was good friendship between them and cooperation. No fights. But there was a potential for misunderstanding. There was a potential for fight. And Manthara very cleverly played on that. She used that potential for misunderstanding to suit her vested interest, her ulterior motive. she played that game of creating competition between two co-wives. She said, you are the favorite queen, but you will no longer remain the favorite queen if Kaushalya's son Ram becomes the king. Therefore, Bharat is qualified in every way, and Bharat should become the next king. Kaikeyi reprimanded Mandhara. She said, oh foolish woman, have you lost your intelligence? What nonsense are you talking? First of all, Ram is the eldest. So by the law of primogeniture, he should become the next king. Because the general convention was that the eldest child becomes the king. Second, she said, Ram is more qualified than Bharat to become the king. Third, she says, Bharat looks at himself as a servant of Ram. Bharat is always serving Ram. Bharat will never ever agree to become the king in the presence of Ram. And besides, of all the four sons, Ram is my favorite and I want him to become the next king. There's a very beautiful story where after the marriage ceremony in Ayodhya, when all the four brothers come with their four wives, they come to meet the mothers. So Lord Ram, with his newly wedded wife, Sita Devi, when he comes to Ayodhya, first he goes to the palace of Kaikeyi, not Kausalya, not Sumitra. He goes to the palace of Kaikeyi. Shri Ram was very sensitive, very, very sensitive to these human relationships. He always wanted to bring out the best in others, not the worst in others. So Sita and Ram, they first go. Shri Ram tells Sita Devi, oh Sita, let's go to the palace of Kaikeyi first. They go to the palace of Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi is so touched that Ram came to take her blessings first, to meet her first, to show his wife to her first, even before Kaushalya. She was so touched because Ram had consistently done like this. He was always very sensitive. He would always make all his mothers feel very comfortable. Kaikeyi loved Ram so much. She was so touched by this loving gesture of Lord Ram that he came to her palace first. Kaikeyi had the most beautiful palace. Dasharath had beautiful palaces for all his queens. And he built the most luxurious, most beautiful palace for his favorite queen Kaikeyi. So Kaikeyi had the most beautiful palace. And Shri Ram and Sita, who are newly married, they have just entered Ayodhya. Shri Ram takes Sita Devi first to meet Kaikeyi in her beautiful palace. And as Shri Ram and Sita touch the feet of Kaikeyi and seek her blessings, Kaikeyi, with all her love, wholeheartedly blesses them. And she tells Ram and Sita that you have all my blessings and I have to give you some gift. You are just married, I have to give you some gift. So the gift I wish to give you is this palace. This palace, which is the most beautiful palace in all of Ayodhya, from this moment, belongs to both of you, Sita and Ram. You have come to this palace to take my blessing. Now you stay in this palace. It is a gift from me to you. And I will walk out of this palace. And Kaikeyi was so loving that she gave her own palace to Sita and Ram. Without knowing where to go, she just walked out of her own palace. She had no place to go. She just gave her palace, gifted her palace to Ram and Sita. And she went out. And then of course Dasharatha Maharaj gave her another palace. But this story indicates how much love Kaikeyi had for Ram. So Kaikeyi is mentioning all this to Mandhara. And Mandhara says, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. You are so naive. Although you are the daughter of a great king. How come Kaikeyi, you have become so foolish? Where have these impurities come upon you? Like Krishna chastises Arjun. This is a perverted reflection. Mandhara is chastising Kaikeyi. Where have these impurities come upon you? Don't you understand that Bharat will die if Ram becomes the king? At this point, hearing these words that Bharat will die, Kaikeyi becomes thoughtful. And she asks Mandhara, what do you mean Bharat will die if Ram becomes the king? Mandhara said, let me explain to you. As soon as Ram becomes the king, he will look at your son Bharat
as a potential competitor. Because other than Bharat, no one else is competent enough to be the king. Because Lakshman is always serving Ram and Shatrughna is always serving Bharat. So Ram will look at Bharat as a competitor. Do you understand? Ram will look at Bharat as his competitor. And Kausalya, you don't know, Kaikeyi, you don't know. But Kausalya hates you. Because before you came in the life of Dasharatha Maharaj, Kausalya was the favorite queen of Ayodhya. Kausalya was the favorite queen of Dasharatha Maharaj. But after you came, after you got married to Dasharatha, you became the favorite queen. And Kausalya has been sidetracked. Kausalya never told you this, but she is very envious of you. She hates you. But she could not do anything to you all these years because you were the favorite queen of Dasharatha Maharaj. You were the most beautiful. You were the most dear to Dasharatha Maharaj. She could not do anything. But now she has found a way to take revenge from you. And that revenge is Ram. She wants to enthrone Ram as the next king. Then she will become the Rajmata. She will become the mother of the kingdom. And you will become nobody. You will lose all your royal comforts. And once that happens, to take revenge, and because Bharat is always a threat to Ram's throne, Ram will exile Bharat. And once Bharat is exiled, to make sure he never comes back, Ram will get Bharat murdered. Now, this was complete imagination. This was complete fiction. But Manthara put this poison into the heart of Kaikeyi because Kaikeyi opened her heart to Manthara. And Kaikeyi in one night became completely poisoned by Manthara. Completely poisoned by Manthara. And then Manthara told her, now do you understand? And as if under the influence of some black magic, Kaikeyi said, yes, yes, I understand, but what to do? I'm helpless. Oh, my son is going to die. Bharat is going to be murdered. What can be done now? Kaikeyi became helpless. And when Kaikeyi became helpless, Manthara further pounced on her and said, I will tell you, Kaikeyi, what to do because I am your well-wisher. Arey, what do I have to gain from all this, my dear Kaikeyi? I am speaking because I love you. You are my daughter. I have fed you myself. You are so dear to me. You are like my daughter. I am like your mother. I am the only well-wisher you have, oh my dear Kaikeyi. I am the only one who is watching after your interests. That's why I am telling you all this. What do I have to gain? Arey, I am a servant. I am a maid servant. Today, I will remain a maid servant even if Ram becomes the king, and I will remain a maid servant even if Bharat becomes the king. What have I to gain or lose, my dear Kaikeyi? It is for you that my heart bleeds. And for you, I'm speaking all these things. And Kaikeyi thought, oh, yes, yes, yes. This Manthara is my only well-wisher, my ever well-wisher. Manthara is my ever well-wisher. She became completely poisoned. And then Manthara said, do you remember? Now Manthara has taken the role of a guru for Kaikeyi. Not a Sadguru, a Sadguru. She is telling, do you remember you have those two boons that Dasharatha Maharaj had promised? And then she tells, you remember that story when Indra had requested Dasharatha Maharaj to come and fight for him against the Asuras, and Dasharatha Maharaj had gone, and you were the newly wedded wife, and to show his heroism to you, he took you along with him, not to the battlefield, but to the heavenly planets, because he wanted to show you the heavenly planets. And there, he engaged an entire day fighting for the demigods, and he killed so many Asuras. But while killing them, he himself became injured and tired and fatigued. And he lay there resting on the battlefield because he was bleeding and he was very tired. He wanted to regain his energy. He did not know, but there was one demon whose specialty was he would come at night on the battlefield And whichever warriors were resting, injured, he would eat them. When you heard this news that Dasharatha Maharaj could be eaten by that particular demon, you got on a chariot as a Kshatriyani and you went on the battlefield and picked up Dasharatha Maharaj, put him on the chariot, helped him onto the chariot and took him away from the battlefield, thereby saving his life. And you nursed Dasharatha back to health with your love, your care, the medicines you gave him. And Dasharatha was so obliged to you. As a true Kshatriya, he had to give you boons. So he said, ask me for any two boons, I will grant them. And like a very intelligent woman, at that time you didn't need anything. You had everything. You had his love. You had the palace. You had money, wealth, servants, everything. All the comforts and luxuries. You didn't want anything. So like a very intelligent person, you believed in delayed sense gratification. So very intelligently you told him, I don't need anything now. Instead of just asking something that we don't need, you patiently waited and you said, I will ask when I need. Right now I don't need anything. So this is a very important principle. It can be used and it can be abused. So positive way we can look at it is, one should not eat anything when the stomach is already full, just to satisfy the tongue. One should wait for the Jathar Agni to become strong, for the fire of digestion, for the hunger, fire of hunger to become strong, and then we should eat. That is what Ayurveda recommends. So at that time, Kaikeyi had no need to ask for any boons. She didn't have the hunger to satisfy any boons. She had no boons to be asked for. So she said, wait, I will ask when the need is. So this is a positive way of looking at it, having self-control. But a negative way of looking at it is that what Mantara was looking at, that now you have those boons, now use them to satisfy your vested interests. And she said to Kaikeyi, use those two boons now. First boon you ask is Bharat should be made the next king, not Ram. And number two, you ask that Ram should be banished to the forest for 14 years. Why? Because according to Manu Samhita, if a prince has been banished for more than 13 years, when he comes back, he cannot have a claim to the throne. He cannot become the next king. So Manthara knew this. So she said, for 14 years, you banish him from the forest. So when he comes back, he cannot become the king. And it will give 14 long years for Bharat to win the confidence of the subjects, to become popular, and to win everybody's love. So such an evil scheme. Basically, it was guaranteeing that Bharat will become the next king, and Ram will never be able to become the next king. It was such a horrible scheme. And somehow she convinced Kaikeyi to do this. And then you know the story how she even, as a Asad Guru, she even guided Kaikeyi what to do. She said, Kaikeyi, you go to the sulking chamber, wear dirty clothes which are not washed, which are full of mala. Today's verse we were reading about karma mala. Here, Manthara is telling Kaikeyi that you wear clothes which have mala, which are dirty clothes. You remove all your jewelry, throw it, strew it all on the floor and fall on the floor like this and start weeping and wailing. And all your mascara, all your kajal, you just smear it on your face. Go to the sulking chamber, turn off all the lamps, and in darkness, you throw your jewelry, wear dirty clothes and lie down on the bare floor, not on the cushion. On the bare floor, you lie down and start crying. And then let Dasharatha Maharaj come and see you. And then you ask him for these two benedictions, two boons. And that is exactly what happened. How Dasharatha Maharaj is heartbroken by this conspiracy is very important. Because remember, Manthara represents materialistic life, filled with envy, filled with evil schemes, filled with kalaha, quarrel, and filled with selfishness, greed, vested interests, ulterior motives. All this is represented by Manthara. Kaikeyi represents us, the marginal energy, Tatashta Shakti. And Dasharatha represents the pure devotee. Dasharatha represents the Antaranga Shakti, devotional life. Dasharatha is heartbroken by what Kaikeyi does at the behest of Manthara. So it means that if we take shelter of Manthara, we will cause great injury, great trauma, great pain to Dasharatha. who represents Bhakti. Isn't it interesting? So Dasharath comes and he sees Kaikeyi on the floor crying and he asks her, "Oh, my favorite queen, what is the matter? Please tell me. What do you need? I will give you anything you want." And Kaikeyi doesn't respond. Then Dasharath Maharaj says, "Has anyone hurt you? Has anyone been rude to you? Has anyone ill-treated you? Tell me who it is. Tell me who deserves to be punished by Maharaj Dasharath today. Anyone who has ill-treated you, I will punish that person. Tell me the name." Again, Kaikeyi doesn't say anything. Then Dasharath Maharaj says, "Are you not feeling well? I will call the best of Vaidyas and they will give you the best of medicine and they will cure you. Are you having some health problem, some health crisis? Tell me what is the problem. I want to help you. But don't be upset with me." And then finally Kaikeyi, when she has Dasharath under her control, she says, "I don't want anything. My health is good. Nobody has ill-treated me. All I want is, I want to see if you are true to your word." Because the tradition in your Raghukul is that once you give your word, you will remain true to it. Even if it means giving up one's life, I want to see if you can maintain the honor of your dynasty. Dasharath says, "Of course, I will maintain the honor of my dynasty. Tell me, what do you want?" She says, "I don't want anything. I just want those two boons which you had promised me. They are my boons. I just am asking you what is mine. Give me those two boons." Dasharath says, "Yes, I remember those two boons. Of course, I will give you those two boons." Kaikeyi says, "No, you promised me. You will give me those boons." Dasharath Maharaj says, "I promise you, Kaikeyi, I will give you those two boons today. Just ask me anything." Now we'll pause here. This is also very interesting. Dasharath Maharaj, when he was saved by Kaikeyi, he gave her two blank checks. "You ask me for any two benedictions, I will fulfill them." So this tells us, my dear friend, this is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. We have to choose what boons we can fulfill, what gifts we can give. We cannot give that control in the hands of someone we don't trust. That is very dangerous. We cannot hand out blank checks. What that means is, do not surrender your intelligence. Surrender with intelligence. Don't surrender your intelligence. Surrender with intelligence. His Grace Radhesham Prabhu says this, that when we choose a spiritual path, when we choose a spiritual master, the disciple has to carefully evaluate the qualification of the spiritual master. The disciple has to analyze whether I can really give my life, give my heart to this personality eternally, and then surrender to the spiritual master. So we should not surrender our intelligence, we should surrender with intelligence. So we have to use our intelligence to recognize who to surrender to. You know, giving blank checks to somebody who is marginal. If we give a blank check to the mind, Kaikeyi represents our mind. If we give full authority to the mind, "You tell me what to do, I will do that," our mind will kill us, like Kaikeyi kills Dasharath. Mind will kill us. Because right now our mind is not controlled. Mind is not purified. Cheto Darpana Marjana has not happened yet. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the mind can be your best friend, bandhu, or mind can be your worst enemy, shatru. So, we cannot give complete free will to the mind. We cannot give a blank check to the mind like Dasharath Maharaj gave a blank check to the mind, Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi represents the mind. She is marginal. She can be here, she can be there. She is not fixed up like Dasharath. So we cannot give authority like this to the marginal potency. That's a lesson we can learn. So Dasharath Maharaj says, "Yes, I will give you anything. You tell me. I will grant you those two benedictions." Kaikeyi says, "Hold Chandra, Surya, Agni, Vayu, Indra, all these demigods, Brahma, Shivji as witness, and promise me, today you will grant me those two benedictions which you had promised me. Because you are fighting on behalf of the devatas. So hold all the devatas as witness and promise me that you will give me those two benedictions." Dashrath says, what to speak of keeping these devatas as witness? I make this statement. In this entire world, in this entire kingdom of Ayodhya, no one is more dear to me, O Kaikeyi, than you, except, as you know, Shri Ram. You are most dear to me, Kaikeyi. You are my favorite wife. The only person I love more than you is Shri Ram, which you already know. What to speak of keeping the devatas as witness? I swear upon Shri Ram, who is more dear to me than my very life. I promise in his name that I will grant you those two benedictions today. But stop sulking, stop crying. Just ask me. I want to see you happy, because tomorrow is a very auspicious day. I will tell you later what is going to happen tomorrow. But first, let me make you happy. Ask me for those two benedictions. So that's the things that Kaikeyi still doesn't know. Dashrath did not get a chance to tell anybody. It was all decided spur of the moment. He started, got busy into preparations, and now he's coming to the palace. So Kaikeyi says, my two demands are, tomorrow coronate Bharat as the next king, and tomorrow banish Ram from the kingdom. Exile him to the forest for 14 years. He cannot come to Ayodhya for 14 years. He has to live in the forest. These two sentences, these two boons that Kaikeyi asked from Dashrath, it completely shattered the heart of Dashrath. They were like powerful thunderbolts that struck the heart of Dashrath Maharaj. And he just, at the thought of giving up the association of Lord Ram, he collapsed on the ground. He fainted 3 times. He would get up, thinking that it was just a nightmare. It cannot be true. This cannot be happening. It was just a nightmare. He would get up and he would see Kaikeyi sitting there staring down at him with very grave eyes and a grim expression on her face. And he would remember, oh, it was not a nightmare. It is actually happening. And again he would faint. After some time, again he would wake up thinking, I hope it was a nightmare. I pray it was a nightmare. It was just a nightmare. It was not true. It cannot be happening. And he would see Kaikeyi looking at him angrily, and again he would faint. It is not a nightmare. It's actually happening. Oh, how come this is happening? Oh, cruel destiny. Oh, cruel destiny. How can I banish Ram? How can I bear separation from Ram? And how can I live at the thought that I am responsible for banishing him from the kingdom? This is unthinkable. And his pain is indescribable. It cannot be described. Dashrath felt so much pain. We are running out of time, my dear friends. But the important lesson we learn here is, just see the power of bad association. Manthara completely poisoned a very wonderful devotee, Kaikeyi. And when she is destroyed, she is destroying other devotees like Dashrath, like Kausalya, like all the Ayodhyavasis. All because of bad association. All because of bad association. So two mistakes that Kaikeyi did, which are very important for us. First is, she opened her ears, because the ears are connected to the heart. She opened her ears and her heart to asat sangha, to non-devotee association. She opened her ears and her heart to someone who was infected with selfishness, greed, envy, and ulterior motives. That is the first mistake. She should not have listened to Manthara. And second mistake she did was, she did not identify, she could not correctly identify who her real well-wishers were. She thought Kausalya was her enemy, which was not true. And she thought that Manthara had no vested interest and she is my well-wisher. That was the second mistake she did. First mistake is, she opened her ears and heart to Manthara. And second is, she could not properly identify who her real well-wisher was. And she therefore did not take a second opinion. Please underline these 2 points. Kaikeyi became a villain. Kaikeyi became a monstrous Kaikeyi became evil because of two mistakes. One, she very intimately associated with Manthara, and she opened her ears for listening, and she opened her heart to Manthara, who was evil. And number two, she could not identify who her real well-wishers were. And therefore, she did not take a second opinion. She thought Manthara was the only well-wisher. If Kaikeyi, after listening to what Manthara had to say, if Kaikeyi would have said, okay, you are making these points that Ram will kill Bharat, you are making this point that Kaushalya will take revenge on me, you are taking this point that this is an evil scheme that Dashrath is doing, he is coronating Ram deliberately in the absence of Bharat, when Bharat is out of town, in a haste, hastily, Dashrath is coronating Ram, because it's a conspiracy, it's an evil scheme of Kaushalya and Dashrath to sidetrack you. Okay, you are making all these statements. Let me talk to Dashrath. And then Kaikeyi goes to Dashrath. Just imagine, she goes to Dashrath and she tells Dashrath Maharaj, Dashrath Maharaj, I have some concerns. Somebody came to me and she was raising all these concerns. I want to discuss them with you. One concern is that you are coronating Ram as the next king very hastily tomorrow in the absence of Bharat, because you want to sidetrack Bharat. And Dashrath Maharaj said, no, Kaikeyi, it's not like that. Arey, what happened was today I saw my grey hair and I took it as an indication of my imminent death. And I was thinking who should be the next successor. I went to our Guru Vasishtha Muni and I asked him, can we make Ram as the next king, which I have already discussed with you, Kaikeyi, and you are also in agreement. Everybody agrees. All these years we have been talking about this, that how wonderful it will be when Ram becomes the next king. That you also agree, even Bharat agrees, everybody agrees. When I spoke this proposal to Vasishtha Muni, he said, this is very Shubha Karya, this is very auspicious activity, you must do it Shigram, you must do it immediately, don't delay. So it was Vasishtha Muni and all the Brahmins and all the sadhus, all the spiritual leaders of Ayodhya who said, do this immediately, because in the next upcoming weeks and months, there are very inauspicious days where we cannot do this. So they are saying, do it immediately, now. And then in the haste, I forgot that Bharat is not here. Oh, Kaikeyi would have said, this is what happened. See, that Manthara is so silly. She is unnecessarily jumping to conclusions and creating suspicions, unwarranted suspicions, unsubstantiated claims she is making. Acha, second claim that she is making is that when Ram becomes the king, he will murder Bharat. And Dashrath Maharaj would have said, what outrageous allegations. It's a complete figment of imagination. It has nothing to do with the truth. You know, Kaikeyi, how much love Ram has for you, how much love Ram has for Bharat. He will protect Bharat. He will respect you. He respects you more. He loves you more than he loves Kaushalya. He is so caring about you. He will give you the highest pedestal in the palace to sit on. And Ram will be like a mentor, will be like a father figure to Bharat and Shatrughna. He will not murder or exile Bharat. That's nonsense. You know it. Ram will never do that. Ram is the most virtuous person. And Kaikeyi would have said, yes, Dashrath Maharaj, you are right. I don't know how I was thinking like this. Actually, I was not thinking. I just wanted clarification because Manthara was saying like this. And the third allegation is that after Ram becomes the next king, Kaushalya will take revenge on me. And Dashrath Maharaj would say, this is also nonsense. Let us go to Kaushalya and let us talk to Kaushalya. And the two of them go to Kaushalya. And instead of talking about what Kaushalya will do, they talk to Kaushalya. Kaushalya, there is this concern. Somebody is raising this concern that once Ram becomes the king and you become the Rajmata, you will take revenge on Kaikeyi. Because Kaikeyi became the favorite queen after she got married to me and she displaced you as a favorite queen. And Kaushalya would say, hey Kaikeyi, I always look at you as my sister. Have we ever had a disagreement? Have we ever had a fight? Have we ever had any envy between us? All these years that we have lived together in this kingdom? No. We live like sisters. We live like loving co-wives. We have the common purpose of serving our husband and serving this Raghu Vamsha, this great dynasty that we are married into. We don't think so selfishly. I don't have any envy for you. Kaushalya, you will always remain my dear friend. You will always remain my dear sister, Kaushalya. Kaushalya would have said. And Kaikeyi would have embraced Kaushalya and said, oh, Kaushalya, thank you. I don't know why this Manthara had this crazy suspicion in her mind. And this suspicion has no basis in truth. Thank you so much for clarifying. Yes, we will always remain as loving co-wives. Because see, when I was the favorite queen of Dasharath, I never took any spite on you. I never took any revenge on you. I never tried to victimize you. So when you become the Rajmata, why will you victimize me? That makes perfect sense. Let's embrace. So just see this scenario. So instead of talking, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says in this regard, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is a very wonderful brahmachari, traveling preacher. I hold him in very high esteem. I consider him as one of my Shiksha Gurus. So whatever I'm presenting, it's based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. It is based on what I have heard from the South India Yatra of my spiritual master, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and all other disciples of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu comments extensively on Mahabharata and Ramayana, and he gives this very beautiful relationship-based lessons from Ramayana. So here Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says that we should not talk about people, we should talk to people. To prevent misunderstandings, we must, and to prevent kalaha, kalaha lati iti kali, kaliyuga means quarrel, kalaha means quarrel. To prevent quarrel, to prevent misunderstanding, and to clarify conspiracy theories, we should not talk about people, we should talk to people. Now Manthara and Kaikeyi are sitting in the palace and talking about what is the intention of Dasharath, what is the motive of Dasharath. They are judging the motive of Dasharath based on his actions. They are judging the motive of Lord Ram. And they are judging the motive of Kaushalya. So they are sitting, Manthara and Kaikeyi are sitting, and Manthara is talking about Dasharath, Manthara is talking about Ram, and Manthara is talking about Kaushalya. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says, we should not talk about people, we should talk to people. Okay, this suspicion, this doubt has been raised. All right, let's go and let's not talk about Dasharath, let's talk to Dasharath. Let's not talk about Ram, let's talk to Ram. Oh Ram, after you become the king, will you murder Bharat? Will you banish Bharat? Will you look at Bharat as a threat? And Ram would say, no, here, take the kingdom, make Bharat the king. I will serve Bharat. How can you talk like this? This breaks my heart. I love Bharat. I love him more than my life. In fact, when Hanumanji brings the Sanjeevani from Himalayas, the herb to cure Lakshman, who was lying there practically lifeless, and Lakshman is cured by the medicine that Hanumanji quickly went and brought from the Himalayas. Lord Ram embraces Hanumanji, and what does he say? Goswami Tulsidas ji, a pure devotee who wrote Ramcharitmanas, a great authority on Ramayana. Tulsidas ji says that he says in Hanuman Chalisa, Tum mama priya Bharata hi sama bhai. That kandha lagave, Lord Ramchandra embraced Hanumanji and said, Tum mama priya Bharata hi sama bhai. That you are dear to me. Now Hanumanji just saved Lakshman's life. But Ram doesn't say you are as dear to me as Lakshman. He says, you are as dear to me as Bharat, because Bharat is serving me in Vipralamba Bhav. Bharat is serving me in separation. He's so dear to me. So, Tum mama priya Bharata hi sama bhai. So, Ram would have said, I am most dear to me of all my brothers is Bharat. How can I do this to Bharat? So, let's not talk about Ram. Let's talk to Ram. If only Kaikeyi would have spoken to the people. Instead of hearing one side of the story and getting your opinion completely lopsided by hearing one side of the story, and making an imbalanced decision, Kaikeyi should have heard the other part of the story and then make a balanced decision. So we should not talk about people, we should talk to people. We should have went and spoken to Kausalya in good faith. Not in an accusatory way, but with a way of seeking explanation. That is very important in relationships. So these are some of the lessons we can learn we are almost out of time. It's 8:50. I also wanted to discuss how Lord Ram shows us the behavior of an ideal devotee and how he interacts with Dashrath, how he interacts with Kaushalya, how he interacts with Kaikeyi, how he interacts with Lakshman, how he interacts with Sita, and how he interacts with Vashishtha and all the palace residents after hearing the news of these two boons that Kaikeyi had asked from Dashrath. After being given the order to leave Ayodhya, how Ram interacts with these different categories of people, showing us the behavior of an ideal devotee. Because Ram is exemplifying an ideal Purush, an ideal human being. So how he does that? We have only 9 minutes. Let me do this. Let me very quickly run through these interactions and we'll stop exactly at 9 o'clock. Because 9 o'clock we have to end the class. So Lord Ram, after he's given the order by Kaikeyi to leave, how he deals with Kaikeyi? Let's discuss that first. So Lord Ramchandra, first he agrees, yes, 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 I will certainly let Bharat become the next king and I will immediately go for 14 years forest exile. And he goes, he gives up his ornaments, his crown, his opulent clothes, he wears a simple tree bark and he comes in front of Kaikeyi and takes her blessings. And he asks Kaikeyi for her blessings before leaving. And with tears in his eyes, Kaikeyi is told by Ram. Shri Ram tells Kaikeyi that, O Mata, O Mother, I always considered you as my mother. Although you are my stepmother, I always considered you as my true mother. And I always thought that my dear mother Kaikeyi also considers me as her dear son. Not stepson, as her dear son. But today I came to know that, O Mate, O Kaikeyi Mata, you never considered me to be your son. Today I understood. And Kaikeyi was thinking, what? This Ram is suddenly turning the table on me. He's going to attack me. He's just see what he's talking. That I never considered him my son. Now he's going to start attacking my boons. That why I am banishing him to the forest. And suddenly, as Kaikeyi was planning her defense, how I am going to defend the verbal attack of Ram, Lord Ramchandra clarifies why he is saying that Kaikeyi never considered him to be the son. Ram says, O Mate, I am saying that you never considered me to be your son because if you considered me, if you considered Ram as your own son, you would have directly told me to go to the forest. You would not have had to go through my father. What is the need for Dashrath to tell me to go to the forest? Oh, Mother Kaikeyi, if you would have told me that you want me to go to the forest, just on your word itself, I would have happily gone. What to speak of 14 years, I would have gone for 14,000 years. But you felt the need to ask this of me through my father. That's why I am hurt. That's why I am saying that you don't consider me to be your son. You should have just told me. What to speak of you, even if a servant of yours would have told me that my mistress, Kaikeyi, wants you to go to the forest. Even if your servant would have told me, I would have gone. Just to please you. Just to keep your word. What is the need of going through Dashrath? I will happily go, Mate, just because you are saying. I will happily go to the forest. Saying this, Lord Ramchandra bows down to Kaikeyi and leaves. Now what impact it had on Kaikeyi? Kaikeyi was, her heart completely softened. Her heart was made hard by the words of Manthara. But as soon as she saw this humble behavior, loving behavior of Ram, all her anxieties, all her fears, all her suspicions were laid to rest and her heart became soft. And she immediately started regretting what she did. I'm just running through. Next, let's go to Dashrath. How does Ram allay the pain? How does Ram alleviate, reduce, subside the pain that Dashrath is feeling? He tells Dashrath, O my dear king, Raghukula Reet, it has been the tradition of Raghukul, this great dynasty, that Jana Jaya par Vachan na Jaya, your word should never prove false. So to keep your word, to keep the dignity of our Raghuvamsha, it is my great pleasure to go to the forest. Great pleasure to go to the forest. My dear father Dashrath, I had such a great time in the forest when I had gone with Lakshman along with our Guru, Vishwamitra Muni. Oh, it was such a blissful experience walking through the forest. So let me enjoy forest life for another 14 years. And also, it will be so nice. In the forest, I will meet so many sadhus and rishis like Vishwamitra Muni, like Agastya Muni, so many great sadhus I will meet. So many great devotees who are performing sadhana in the forest, who have taken vanpras, who have taken sannyas. I will meet them in the forest and I will be spiritually enlivened. So it's a great boon for me to go for 14 years into the forest. And besides, Bharat has all the good qualities that I have. So I'm sure he will be a just and able king for Ayodhya. So you need not worry. It's all good. It's all good. Let me go. Let me go to the forest and I will come back very quickly in 14 years. This is how he encouraged Dasharatha Maharaj. Instead of telling Dasharatha Maharaj that, you know, it's okay, I know this has happened against your will, I know you are heartbroken. I don't know what, why did this Kaikeyi, what happened? Did you have a fight with her? You know, what happened to Kaikeyi? Instead of analyzing and, you know, criticizing Kaikeyi and creating more fissure, more rifts in the relationships, Lord Ram is pacifying Dasharatha. He is seeing the good in bad. He is seeing opportunity in a reversal. This is the great quality of an ideal devotee as exemplified by Sri Ram. Because Ramayana teaches us relationships. Then how does he deal with Lakshman? Lakshman is incensed. He is livid. He wants to kill Manthara. He wants to kill Kaikeyi. And how does Ram pacify him? He says, my dear Lakshman, it is a great honor that I have to go to the forest to protect the world of my father. It is such a great service. So don't be angry. I am not. I cannot control my anger. How could Dasharatha do this? That old man has become lusty for Kaikeyi, and to satisfy his lust through Kaikeyi, he's become a puppet in the hands of Kaikeyi. This old man has become lusty, Lakshman said very angrily. How can they banish you? Let's do a political coup. Let's do a revolt. You should become the next king, and anybody who tries to stop you will be killed by my sharp arrows, Ram. Come on, you become the king and I will protect you, Lakshman said. And what does Ram do at such a volatile situation? He says, no, 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 Lakshman, don't think like this. Dasharatha Maharaj has not given this order out of his own free will. He is himself heartbroken. This is not happening because of his desire. This is happening despite his desire. It is happening against his desires. Dasharatha Maharaj has nothing to do with this. Please don't blame Dasharatha Maharaj. Okay, then let us kill Kaikeyi. It is because of Kaikeyi, that stepmother who wants to destroy you. And Lord Ramchandra, how does he deal with this accusation? See, Lord Ram is so expert. He tells Lakshman, my dear Lakshman, have you forgotten all the times when Kaikeyi has fed us with her own loving hands? Have you forgotten when Kaikeyi gave me her own palace? Have you forgotten all these years when Kaikeyi has showered us with so much maternal love, so much vatsalya? Kaikeyi, we would always say, is the Ganga of vatsalya. She is a river. The river is flowing, full with love, vatsalya prem. Kaikeyi is the Ganga of vatsalya prem. Remember, we used to always talk like this. Of all the three mothers, Kaikeyi is the most loving. Kaikeyi is the Ganga of vatsalya prem. Have you forgotten all that, Lakshman, in one night? Don't forget what Kaikeyi has done for us. Don't think of her like this. Then Lakshman very sarcastically says, Acha, Kaikeyi is the Ganga, flowing Ganga of vatsalya prem. The Ganga never dries. How has this Ganga dried up? How has the Ganga of Kaikeyi dried up? Why there is no vatsalya prem now? Why she is treating you like an enemy? And Ram says, exactly, Ganga never dries. Therefore, why are you seeing that Ganga has dried? Ganga has not dried. Kaikeyi still loves us. This is just the influence of destiny. This is the influence of my own karma. This is the influence of destiny. Don't blame the instruments of my own destiny, Ram tells Lakshman. So he puts the ball. He puts the blame on destiny. Ram shifts the focus on destiny. Ram shifts the focus of blame from Kaikeyi very expertly to destiny. And who is the controller of destiny? Lord Ram. So Lakshman is speechless. Lakshman is speechless because Ram is putting the blame on himself. It is all because of destiny. And Lakshman in his heart knows that Ram is the master of destiny. So Lakshman cannot say anything further. And then Lakshman says, all right, if you want to go to the forest, all I ask you is, let me come with you. Let me come with you and protect you in the forest and serve you in the forest. I will not stay in Ayodhya without you. I will come with you. Now Ram did not want Lakshman to come. He wanted him to stay in Ayodhya because the boon was Ram should be banished on exile to 14 years to forest. Not Lakshman. Why should Lakshman suffer? So Ram didn't want him to go. But look at Lord Ram's wonderful behavior. He had just rejected one proposal of Lakshman. What was that proposal? To create a political coup and forcefully enthrone Ram as the next king. For this proposal of Lakshman, Ram said no. He shot it down. Second proposal, that Dasharatha is a lusty old man. Again, Lord Ramchandra shot this down. Third proposal, that Kaikeyi is evil and she should be punished. Again, Lord Ramchandra shot it down. Third proposal. What was the fourth proposal? That I will come with you to the forest. Now, Lord Ram is so loving, so sensitive, so expert at human relationships. He knows that three times he had said no to Lakshman. So fourth time, when Lakshman says, I want to come with you to this proposal, Lord Ramchandra agrees. Teaching us that you cannot always say no, no, no. When there is love and you have to say no to protect someone, you do it. But then you also have to compromise somewhere and say yes to balance it out. So very expertly to balance it out, knowing that Lakshman loves him. Lord Ramchandra already having said no to him three times. For the fourth proposal, Lord Ram says, yes, you come with me. I will not go to the forest without you. You come with me. How does he deal with Sita? When he tells Sita that I am going to the forest, he gives her an instruction. You must live here in Ayodhya and you must serve everyone very nicely. Dasharatha Maharaj is heartbroken. Serve him. Kaikeyi also will feel separation from me. Serve her. Kaushalya is heartbroken. Serve her. Sumitra will be heartbroken. Serve her. All the Ayodhya Vasis will be heartbroken. Serve her. Serve everyone. O Sita Devi, stay in Ayodhya and serve everyone. Console everyone. And never speak about my glories. Never praise me in the presence of Bharat or Kaikeyi. This is the advice that Ram gives Sita Devi. You stay in Ayodhya and don't praise me. Serve everyone. Why? Because it is our duty, my dear friends, to bring out the best in others. There was a concern that if Ram was glorified by Sita in the presence of Bharat and Kaikeyi, then others would get influenced and they would again continue to think of Ram as a threat. So to bring out the good in them and not to bring out envy in them, Ram instructed Sita, don't praise me, don't praise me in front of Bharat and Kaikeyi. Just see how sensitive and careful Lord Ram is. Then, Sita says, when my father gave me to you in marriage, he told me I should stay with you through heaven or hell, through thick and thin. Through all conditions of life, I have to be with you. So there is no question of me staying with you, staying without you in Ayodhya. I am coming with you to the forest for 14 years. I am with you. Lord Ramchandra says, forest life is very difficult, O Sita. He tries to dissuade Sita. Forest life is very tough. There are thorns, there are sharp pebbles, there are dangerous wild animals. There are demons who live in the forest. It's going to be very hard. You are born as a daughter of Janak Maharaj. You are born into royal opulence. In Ayodhya also, after marriage, we have kept you so comfortably. You are not used to the harsh life in the forest. Forest is not a place for a young princess like you to live. No, 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 no. You stay here in Ayodhya. And Mother Sita says to Ram, with you living in the harsh forest will be the greatest bliss, my dear Ram. And without you living in the comfort of Ayodhya will be the greatest pain. If you want to give me pain, keep me in Ayodhya. If you want to give me pleasure, keep me with you in the forest. This is the beauty of Sita Devi, beauty of her love. And then Lord Ramchandra still says, no, no, no. Forest life is very harsh. And I will not be able to protect you from all the wild animals and demons and so many things are there, it's not safe for you. Of course, Lord Ram was able to protect, but he just said that to convince Sita to stay back in Ayodhya and not come to the forest. And then Mother Sita throws her final weapon at Ram. And Sita Devi challenges the masculinity of Ram. She says, "Oh, now I understand. You are not competent to protect me from the wild animals and the demons that live in the forest. Oh, so the mistake is not yours. The mistake is my father, Janak Maharaj's mistake. That he handed me over in marriage to an incompetent eunuch like you." Hare Krishna. Very, very important point, my dear friends. Let us understand this. This is Sita Devi. This is Sita Devi talking to Sri Ram. Calling him incompetent. Challenging his, questioning his masculinity. Very important lesson. Very important lesson. Our acharyas explain that we should not look at the action, we should look at the intention also. Sita Devi's action seems very harsh, very rude, very insulting. But Lord Ram does not take Sita Devi's words just at face value. He sees the intention behind it. Lord Ramchandra smiles when Sita Devi challenges his masculinity. And he smiles and he embraces Sita Devi and says, "Yes, yes. You have proved by saying this, by challenging my masculinity, by throwing this final weapon at me, you have proved how much you love me and how determined you are to come with me to the forest. I also cannot live without you in the forest. I was just testing you, Sita Devi. I will happily take you with me to the forest and I will protect you. Come with me." So Lord Ramchandra took the apparently insulting words of Sita Devi based on the intention. Sita Devi's intention was she could not bear the thought of staying in Ayodhya without Ram. So out of sheer transcendental loving madness, she was challenging the masculinity of Ram. But Lord Ram did not take it just at the, he just didn't look at the words. He looked at the spirit behind the words. He didn't say, "What? You are challenging my masculinity. You called me eunuch? I am the most powerful Kshatriya. You called me eunuch? Beat my wife? What an unchaste lady you are calling me eunuch? Get out of here. I disown you. You are a kalank on Raghuvamsh. No wife talks to the husband like this. I reject you. I will get another wife." No, not like that. Lord Ramchandra took the spirit behind those words. Bhavagrahi Janardhana. Bhavagrahi Janardhana. He took the meaning behind those words. The motive. The motive was she desperately wanted to come with Ram. And to be with Ram, she was even willing to speak those harsh words just to convince him to take her with him. And Lord Ramchandra considered the motive behind those words, not the words. And he embraced Sita Devi. He did not say, everybody is victimizing me. Kaikeyi is speaking harsh about me. Manthara is speaking harsh about me. My own father is sending me on exile. And here you are my wife. You are also calling me eunuch. You know, I'm going to take sannyas. I'm going to reject all of you. I'm going to take sannyas. No, Lord Ramchandra did not. See, he's teaching us how to deal with relationships, how to deal with human emotions. He tells Sita Devi, and Sita Devi immediately becomes apologetic. "Oh, I spoke to you so harshly, I'm sorry." And Lord Ramchandra says, no. Showing your emotions sometimes is very important. Because showing your emotions, becoming emotional, can be a sign of love. And then Lord Ram again goes in front of Dasharath and all Vasishtha Muni, Sumantra and all the court leaders in the court of Dasharath. He goes in front of them and there he tells them, they are all crying that Ram is going to the forest. He pacifies them and says, "This is a great benediction. I am, by going to the forest, I will keep the honor of my family because my father's word, Dasharath Maharaj's word, will turn out to be true, then I will go to the forest, I will associate with the sadhus, and I will get to gain a lot of spiritual knowledge from them, and after 14 years I will come back to all of you with all the spiritual wealth that I have learned from them, and I will share it with all of you. So it is all good. Please don't cry. These 14 years will pass so quickly. Before you know, 14 years will pass and I will be back very soon. So here, Lord Ram is suppressing his own emotions. Of course, Lord Ramchandra is hurt. Of course, Lord Ramchandra is sad to give up the association of Bharat, to give up the association of Kaikeyi, Kausalya, Sumitra, Dashrath. Of course, Lord Ramchandra is sad. But here, Lord Ramchandra is showing his love by suppressing his emotions. My dear friends, we'll conclude by understanding this one point. See the contrast. When Sita helplessly expressed her emotions to Ram, Ram said, very good. The sign of your love for me is that you are expressing your emotions. You are calling me eunuch by becoming emotional. And this display of your emotion is a display of your love for me. But when Ram goes in front of Dashrath and Vasishtha Muni, Ram himself is suppressing his emotions. Is suppressing his emotions. And he's saying, it's okay, this 14 years will pass very quickly. I'll go, I'll learn from the sadhus and rishis. I'll associate with the devotees in the forest. I renunciate and I will gain spiritual knowledge. I will become spiritually more advanced and I will come back to it. Then quick, 14 quick years. What is 14 years? They will pass like this. So here, Ram is suppressing his own emotions of heartbreak and sorrow and hurt. So Sita Devi is showing her love to Ram by becoming emotional, by displaying her emotions. And Ram is also showing his love for Dashrath and Vasishtha by suppressing his emotions, by hiding his emotions. Why? Because here, display of emotions, display by Ram that I am also sad by this forest exile, would cause more pain to Vasishtha, would cause more pain to Dashrath Maharaj. So why should I increase, they are already pained, why should I increase their pain by showing them that I am also sad, I am also heartbroken. So here, the display of Ram's love for Dashrath and Vasishtha is to hide his emotion, suppress his emotion. So my dear friend, emotions are good, but we should know when to display them as a display of love and when to not display them as a display of love. So with these points, with these beautiful relationship lessons that we can learn from Ramayana, I will conclude with this one point, that the two mistakes of Kaikeyi were that she opened her heart to Manthara, who was evil, and she did not take a second opinion. To protect us from these two mistakes, to be influenced by evil association, asatsanga, and to not take wise counsel from satsanga. To protect ourselves from these two pitfalls, from these two mistakes, there is only one solution, and that is to do our bhajan very nicely, to chant our rounds very nicely, and to sharpen our intelligence with spiritual practices, so that when we are tested, when we are in tempting situations, when we are in difficult, challenging situations, we don't commit these two mistakes. If our sadhana is good and sincere, we are sincerely praying for purification, we are sincerely praying for Krishna prema, then when we are in a challenging situation, we will not take shelter of asatsanga, bad association, but we will take shelter of satsang, of Hari, Guru and Vaishnava. We will take shelter of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Thank you very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, any comments, corrections or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandan Pranam, all your Lord Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Such a beautiful, beautiful explanation of the whole Ramayana, the beginning part of it. I mean, heard the story so many times, but so many lessons that you explained for like finding the good even in the situation which is so adverse to us, and always taking the association of the satsang. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Babuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Sri
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All the wish to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so very much, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. I have a question about, you mentioned about the mantra. Like, I'm just thinking that for me, in my own life as a practicing neophyte devotee, I feel that my own mind is like mantra, which deviates me from the real thing and which always gives me this bad association, even though things are not true, but it proposes so many things like mantra did. So my question, I understand that the only way is this process of chanting and hearing. So I just want to ask if there is anything that can be done to fasten, to get rid of this mind and act from the heart and soul.
Hare Krishna Mataji, can you please introduce yourself?
Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, this is Kasturi Manjari Vedasi. Sorry, I forgot.
Hare Krishna Kasturi Manjari Mataji, my humble obeisances to you. So Mataji, the answer is given in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. By constantly being engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, by constantly being engaged in Hari Bhajan. And see, we all know that we have to chant 16 rounds every day. Everybody agrees. All of us have taken a vow to chant 16 rounds every day. Okay? So we have to chant 16 rounds. We have to chant 16 rounds. We have to chant minimum 16 rounds every day. Then might as well do it with good quality. Agar karna hi hai, to achhe se karo. We have to chant 16 rounds every day. That is compulsory. Okay, so now that we have to chant 16 rounds every day minimum, then might as well do it with good quality. That is what I tell myself. Okay, Adigadhar Prabhu, you have to chant 2 hours minimum every day. So anyway, you are going to sit down and chant for 2 hours every day on your Japa Mala. You are investing those 2 hours. So might as well invest them in good quality Japa. So these are some ways we can inspire ourselves to do whatever we are doing with good quality and slowly increase the quality of our bhajan and increase the quantity of our bhajan also. That way, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport that we read today, we can be engaged non-stop. We can be engaged continuously. And if we are engaged continuously under the guidance of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas, then we are safe. And slowly, slowly the purification will happen. But we can fasten that purification, and which is your question, we can fasten that purification by consciously, sincerely trying to increase the quantity and quality of our bhajan. And bhajan means Navadha Bhakti, the 9 process of devotional service. By increasing our hearing, chanting, smaranam, vandanam, increasing Vaishnava Seva, increasing our bhajan, both quantity-wise and quality-wise, we can, sincerely trying to do this, we can fasten the process of purification. Does that make sense, Mataji?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji, very much. Thank you so much. And I seek your blessings and all the blessings from the Vaishnavas on the call so that I can really apply this in my life. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. You are so sincere. Very inspiring. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Jyati Padadas Prabhu, Koti Koti Tanvat Pranam to your Seva, as usual, very naked in class. You can feel that, Lila, that much potency in your class. Prabhuji, and one more thing, you explained that our mind is like Kaikai. So we have to always stay with the association of Srinira Vaishnava. And it is work, Prabhuji. From last 3.5 years, I am attending this morning Shishi Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charanamrita. Prabhuji, really it's work. We have to always stay with Vaishnava. We learn so many things from them. Correct ourselves, especially to correct our sadhana. And you also mentioned that we have to always stay with Guru Krishna and Sadhu, and whatever we learn from that, we have to share it. Every once in a month, we are visiting with H.G. Balbhadra Prabhuji in a 5 point Prabhuji. Before that, we are only 4 or 5 Vaishnava. Now more than 30-35 Vaishnava is there. And Prabhuji, the response is that all that have a cigarette and beer in their hand, and they just keep out and they will sit in a kirtan. So that this is the power of senior Vaishnavas kirtan, and because that japa is very attentively, Prabhuji, thank you very much. Pray for us that we always get such a strong association of Vaishnava. Dhanvat pranam chila Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Jai Srila Prabhupada. May Guru and Gauranga bless you, Mataji, and bless all the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. Very nectarian pastime of Lord Ramchandra and how to control the mind and everything. So, very nice class, Prabhuji. Yeah. Is there anybody having any questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Prabhuji, can you please sing Krishna Ram Raghav, Ram Raghav, Ram Ragam, Pahi Man one time, please, Prabhu?
Krishna 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 He Krishna 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 He Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshama Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Pahi Mam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Hey, wow.
Thank you. We can end the class now, Mataji. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's always very, very inspiring, your class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, Prabhuji, we can end the call here. Pancha Kalpa Parityajya Krupa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananda Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai His Grace Adhika Dadar Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes.
Thank you, beta. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Who was that?
Prabhu, it was Vrinda only. She was hearing your class. Thank you, Prabhu.
Jai Ho, Vrinda. Thank you so much, beta, for encouraging me. May Guru and Gauranga bless you immensely. May you become a pure devotee.
Thank you, Prabhuji. With your blessing, sure it will happen, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Das Vasmi. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.